ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 28, Text 42. Nahi tat kusala dhrityam, tat asayo hi apartaka, antavatach charirasya, Palasyeva Vanaspati. Word by word translation. Na.
Na.
Not.
No.
He. Indeed.
He.
Tat. That. Kushala.
Kushala.
By those expert in transcendental knowledge.
By those expert in transcendental knowledge.
Adrityam.
Adrityam.
Be respected.
Tat
of that,
Ayasa,
the endeavor,
he
certainly,
Apartaka,
useless, Antavatvat, because of being subject to destruction, Sharirasya, on the part of the material body. Palasya of the fruit,
Hiva,
just as
Vanaspate
of the tree. Translation by His Divine Grace, actually translation by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. This is the 11th canto. The mystic bodily perfection is not valued very highly by those expert in transcendental knowledge. Indeed, they consider endeavor for such perfection useless, since the soul, like a tree, is permanent, but the body, like a tree's fruit, is subject to destruction. Please repeat responsibly. The mystic bodily perfection
is not valued very highly
by those expert in transcendental knowledge. Indeed, they consider endeavor
for such perfection
useless,
since the soul,
like a tree,
is permanent,
but the body,
like a tree's fruit,
is subject to destruction. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, by actually Hridayananda Maharaj. The example given here is of a tree that seasonally bears fruit. The fruit exists for a very short time, whereas the tree may exist for thousands of years. Similarly, the spirit soul is eternal, whereas the material body, even when preserved as long as possible, is destroyed relatively quickly. The body should never be equated with the eternally existing spirit soul. Those who are actually intelligent, who actually have spiritual knowledge, are not interested in material mystic perfections. Om Magenati Mirandasya Nananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Milita Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavishtam Sthapitami Nabhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Vahyam Dadati Swapadantikam E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari
Vishabano sute devi pranamami hari priye vanchakalpa turvishcha kripasindhu vevacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Every person in the material world has a specific philosophy by which they, on which they base their life. First, we have a philosophy, understanding about what we think is right and wrong. Then we have a specific worldview. That internal philosophy becomes manifest in our vision about what this world is all about, who we are, what we are doing here. That is called worldview. The philosophy informs the worldview. The worldview that we have informs our thinking process, decision-making process. And from decision-making process, our actions manifest, and from our actions, specific results manifest. There is two types of human beings. The one type of human beings, philosophy and worldview, is atheistic. In other words, this type of human beings' understanding of reality is that there is no need for a conscious, intelligent designer behind this material manifestation. They simply conclude that this material cosmic manifestation is either accidental, or some even conclude that it's just eternal on a grand scale, but on a small scale everything changes. So they carry on living, thinking in that way, acting in that way, and they receive specific results based on that worldview. Another segment of society is convinced that this material energy cannot exist. The world we are living in, the complex structure of the universe with its planets, planetary systems, and the specific laws that govern nature, they cannot comprehend that such a complex organization will manifest accidentally, or it can be an organization that exists eternally without any purpose. This type of personalities, they also, through that philosophical outlook, they have a specific understanding of this world. They think in a certain way, they behave in a certain way, and they receive certain results. Both of these individuals are looking for value. What is valuable? The one group is perceiving certain things as valuable, but if we examine very closely, you'll see that the other group has totally different perception about what is valuable. However, both groups are looking for value. So, it is important for every human being to investigate the absolute truth, to investigate what is valuable really, so that they could join the either camp, this camp or that camp. We have to find out very carefully where we stand, so that we behave, and receive a specific result according to our expectation. If we are too vague, there is another camp actually of people that are vague. They are in the middle of these two camps. They are not sure what is proper and what is improper. They may be at the moment swayed by this side or by that side, but after some time they may find themselves in the other camp, changing the clothes and whatever. However, if one is not fully convinced about the perspective of both sides, he or she will find himself constantly being swayed by the two extremes. Therefore, the Vedic scriptures inform us that the primary purpose of human life is investigation into the absolute truth. Atato Brahma Jigyas. Now is the time for us to find out who we are, what we are supposed to be doing here, what are we doing here, and what is the ultimate goal of life. So, Jnana Yoga is very necessary according to the theistic science. Both of these groups are scientifically minded, supposed to be scientifically minded. And if one is scientifically minded, he or she will carefully analyze the pros and cons of each camp, and they will make a decision based on an awareness. Of course, there are people who may be considered blind followers. They just superficially adopt a specific philosophy, worldview, process of thinking, behavior and action without taking too much time to think and analyze. We can say that this is blind following. So I guess this is the group in the middle of these two camps. Therefore, human life has to be concerned with investigating into the absolute truth. So we have modern science, and the fathers or the propounders of modern science, they are very focused in investigating reality through their technological instruments, and they are analyzing the pros and cons according to their perspective. And there is the spiritualists, the other camp. Their tools for investigation is actually Shastra, and specifically the tool of Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga means the tool of deep analysis of reality. So within that Jnana Yoga, of course, there is Bhakti Jnana, which is the little more advanced stage of Jnana Yoga. When someone studies Vedanta Sutra, he or she, if one is very careful and guided by a bona fide authority of the theistic perspective, he or she will quickly realize that the scriptures reveal that the source of everything is a conscious being. Janmadi Yasayato, this is the source of everything is that person from whom everything emanates. We mentioned in the class on Friday, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The Shastra very clearly delineates that the source of everything is a Supreme Conscious Being. Therefore, the job of the spiritualist becomes much easier than the job of the atheistic scientists, because the spiritualists, they will receive knowledge through an authorized disciplic succession of bona fide teachers who come directly from being in contact with the source of everything. While the camp of the atheistic scientists will have trouble because the tools for their inquiry is their senses. And our senses are prone to mistakes, imperfection. There is many examples that can be given how our senses are imperfect. Prabhupada gives the example of how we cannot see anything in the darkness. We need to switch on the light to be able to see. Another example can be given is that sometimes we see water in the desert, although that's simply a mirage, and the further we go in the desert to reach that reservoir of water, we find that that reservoir of water is moving along with us. Also, our senses are limited in many different ways. We cannot hear frequencies that animals can hear, for example. We cannot see as, for example, a vulture, the bird vulture can see from very, very far. It's got a very sharp sight, while the human beings, we struggle to see even a few meters away from us, ourselves. The dog's sense of hearing is very sharp. Sometimes before an earthquake, the animals become very agitated. The human beings cannot sense that. They only sense the earthquake when actually the hit comes and the earth shakes and the walls fall and whatever. Or some of the people may sense the earthquake if they hear the animals becoming agitated. So if the animals' senses are better than the human beings, then we can consider them that they are better scientists than the human beings, if we base our scientific approach to life simply on pratyaksha, sense perception. It will be very logical to accept the dog as a better scientist than a human being, because his awareness is bigger than the human being's awareness of certain perspectives of life. However, the scientists quite convinced that they are on the right path, and of course their conviction comes with the big funding that goes behind science today. If there is no funding, they might have rethought their which camp they are standing in, but because the funding is so wonderfully facilitated, and many people see a wonderful career in the camp of atheistic science, because it allows them to create a comfortable situation in this material world. Whether they agree with the conclusions of the overall scientific worldview or not, that's besides the question. The main point is that the funding is there and one can maintain his body and soul, his family, etc. His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj gave a very interesting example once. Jai. Vijay Prabhu ki. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. About scientists in India who were working in a nuclear plant. So Maharaj actually met with them and he asked them, so you know how dangerous is to work in such a plant. There is always an opportunity for an explosion, whatever. As you know, in Bhopal in India, they had this big atomic reactor exploded some maybe 20 years ago or something like that, and caused a lot of the release of toxic gases and radiation in the environment. So Maharaj was telling them, you know how dangerous is this? They said, well, we actually know, but what can we do? We have to fund our life. We've got too much demands, material demands. So it's a good job, good pay. So we just accept that. And we carry on, no matter what, how hazardous that job can be. So if we investigate, if we try to stay honestly into the platform of investigation, we should look very carefully at the lifestyle, the consciousness of the either camps, to see which camp do we really want to join. So this is the primary focus of human life. If human beings become more interested with what's more comfortable for their mind and body, then that life is no longer considered human according to the Vedic tradition. Because the species, like the animal species, they are never concerned with philosophy or worldview. They're simply acting instinctively. While human beings are rational living beings, therefore they have been given a higher intellectual faculty. Or they have higher intellectual faculty. So naturally questions like, who am I, what am I doing in this world, will be of great interest to human beings. So if we examine the scientific worldview and the followers of modern science, we will see that their propaganda is simply promoting destruction in the world. Unnecessary destruction. And if we examine the genuine followers of theistic science, we will see that they are promoting a lifestyle of care and compassion and harmony. Now this is a very bold statement. Now we have to try and qualify it. Why is the atheistic science promoting destruction? Aren't they also trying to create certain cures, medical treatments for people to help humanity? Aren't they trying to create political systems that promote inequality, like democracy, etc.? Aren't they really trying to be good citizens and to bring goodness into society? So let's investigate that. Now we can see, for example, in the Vedic tradition we have four goals of life: dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Thank you, Prabhu. Dharma, artha, kama and moksha. In the scientific worldview, a dharma can be considered simply some kind of moral standards that are established by the ruling party at the time.
That is the Dharma. You have to obey the police and the law of the national, the state. That is your Dharma. And your Artha, economic development, and your Kama is also there. You develop economically, your Kama is there. However, nobody considers very seriously what liberation means. In an atheistic state, for an atheist, liberation means death, that ultimately you get liberated by the demands of the material energies, the existence in the demands of the material energy. So a lot of materialists believe that when I die, I die. Professor Kotowski spoke to Prabhupada and he said, Swamiji, there is no such thing as soul. When we die, we finished. Everything is over. That is their understanding. So let's examine their dharma, their moral codes, ethical codes by which they behave. Is it unifying or is it destructive? If we examine very carefully, we see that these moral and ethical codes are meant to simply serve a specific segment of society. Perhaps we can even say a specific species. They are serving the human species. It's like a man-centric society in which we are living in at the moment. Basically, the man has become God. The man has become the center of everything. The man makes the decisions of right and wrong. So, in that way, the man species is preferred over any other species. So we see that we have destruction in the slaughterhouses. Millions of animals have been killed every year around the world. That means already some segment of society is abused. It's not perfect. Also, if we examine the dynamics of relationship between human beings, we will see that certain people have been benefited in a way which modern people think they are valuably benefited economically, in terms of making money. Certain people can afford that, can access that, and other people simply one paycheck away from poverty. That is also some type of imbalance they cannot solve through their material dharma, their materialistic thinking. Then another aspect is we can look at environmental reality. There is so much destruction going on in the world environmentally. There is climate change. There is so much smog in the big cities. I don't know Melbourne. I'm not so aware of the situation of carbon in the air, but in Cape Town it's huge. If you go on the Table Mountain and look down to the city, even on a day without clouds, you see everything is just small. It's covered with some emissions, carbon emissions, and dirt. So even about 15 years ago, something like that, 14 years, when I went to Cape Town, it wasn't that bad. So within these 14, 15 years, the situation has become worse. So these are quite few examples of destruction that is there based on the atheistic philosophy, atheistic worldview, atheistic thinking, atheistic behavior, and the results, scientific. And the free market economy, perhaps the last point I will make on that, is free market economy means that greed is the goal of life. Free market economy means that you create a product and then spread it around the world and get the whole world market and make billions and billions of dollars for yourself. Now, in order for you to make billions of dollars for yourself, which is just paper, some paper there, which we think is wealth, we have to destroy all the natural resources. We have to destroy the water, the rivers, the ocean. We have to destroy the air. We have to destroy the social structure of society by promoting, for example, pornography on internet or television. The families are destroyed because these things make money. Sex sells, whatever people say. So, free market economy. Adam Smith came with that theory of free market economy. He said, this is the wealth of nations. The more people become intelligent for what their self-interest is, the more they will become wealthy. So in other words, this is a softer way to say greedy. The more people become greedy, they will become wealthy. But we see now, when he came up with that theory, was sometime in the 17th century, we see now in the 21st century that although this theory is being promoted and enforced all over the world by the current world elite, we see that the theory is simply causing destruction on many different levels, social, environmental, even health, psychological problems, and people are becoming more and more confused. Suicide rates are increasing, divorce, abortion, so many things are there. And this is unheard of in the history of mankind. So, on the opposite side, we see that Dharma, the Shastra presents Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, but also Prema, the fifth goal of life, which is love of God. And this is understood by the topmost transcendentalist. The yogi who actually always meditates on Krishna. Yoginam abhisarvesam mat katentaram atmanam shradavam bhajate yoma sami yuktatam amataha. The yogi who always meditates on Krishna is intimately united with Krishna. Therefore, one sees Krishna's presence everywhere. Vasudeva sarvam iti samahatma sudurlabha. Such a person will never become an offender. Such a person will never hurt any living being because he sees his beloved Lord present within the heart of each and every living being. Not only the living beings, in fact, within the atom of every material object, he sees God there. Therefore, I'm going to quote Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He said once, we should not only try to treat human beings and animals with care and respect, but even dead matter must be treated with respect. Amazing, yeah? Because it's also Krishna's energy. So, the theistic worldview calls for the most exalted level of ethics, morality, compassion, harmony, devotion, love. Atheistic worldview is based on man-centrism, and therefore, as Shastra informs us, false ego, prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha ahankara vimudatma kardaham iti manate. False ego means that I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. There is two departments of materialistic thinking. The one aspect is I am the creator of my activities and whatever I am the creator of this, and the other aspect is I am the enjoyer. This is the two psychic aspects, psychological aspects of materialistic consciousness. I am the creator and I am the enjoyer. So in that way, the false ego produces destruction. There is competition, individualism, and basically violence, the promotion of violence. One person over another, one species over another. While Vaishnava culture or theistic culture immediately promotes harmony, because the value that the theistic personality has, he or she perceives that the value of life, the real value, the real benefit in life is to attain love and reconnect back to the Supreme Conscious Source. That is the value they honor the most. Therefore, anything that will become a blockage for such a person to access that ultimate goal of life, they will immediately discredit. They will not embark upon activities and thinking which will become a blockage for them to access the real value of life. They see that the theistic perspective is very scientific. The atheists are simply dealing with the material energy. They say that everything is just energy. While the theists understand that everything cannot just be energy, because if everything was energy or chemicals, then where does the consciousness come from? Since chemicals are unconscious, where does the consciousness come from? Therefore, Vishnu Shakti para prokta kshetra gyakyata tapara avidya karma samgya triti shakti ishite. The Vedas inform us that there are three energies that emanate from that Supreme Conscious Being, Source. The atheists only can see with their eyes the external energy, Bahirangi Shakti, earth, water, fire, air, ether. They know there is mind, they can perceive there is intelligence, but because the false ego covers that intelligence, automatically there is no higher knowledge beyond the false ego. That I am this body, I am the enjoyer, I am the exploiter, I am the controller, I am God, in other words. However, the Vedanta Sutra is scientific, Shastra, because it explains that behind the material energy, there is another energy, Paraprakriti, like Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita in 7, 4 and 5, that above all these eight separated material energies of mind, there is another energy called Paraprakriti, which is comprised of the living entities who are currently exploiting the material world. There is another energy, and that energy is conscious compared to the Bahirangi Shakti, which is unconscious. We can observe the chemical elements, they are unconscious. And a devotee can analyze in Jnana Yoga. We can see this body is made of chemicals. This seat is also made of chemicals. Now, if I examine the structure of the seat, I will see the same chemicals are present there as well as in my body. Then why my body has consciousness and why this doesn't have consciousness? So the answer is given by Krishna. Because in the body, there is the soul. Dehino smineta dehe kaumaram yamaram jara tata dehantara praptya jarasadranam hiti. There is that paraprakriti, superior energy, conscious energy. And that paraprakriti ultimately belongs to Anturanga Shakti, the internal pleasure potency of the Lord. So when that paraprakriti connects in loving service to Krishna, immediately becomes swayed away by the Anturanga Ladini internal pleasure potency, and you become an energy that is giving pleasure to the Lord, to Krishna. And when we are covered over by Bahirangi Shakti, the living entity has lost his free will. And in other words, the living entity can be compared to merging within Bahirangi Shakti. The extreme totality of that, the zenith of merging in Bahirangi Shakti, is the Mayavadi philosophy. When one becomes a stone, one enters into a stone or crystal due to envy from Krishna. So this is a very scientific perspective. And here in this particular verse, Krishna tells Uddhava that the mystics who are trying to extend the life of their body just so that they can live long in this body, that is not attractive to a real transcendentalist, because the real transcendentalist understands that he is not the body, he understands that he is the soul, he understands that this body is the fruit of the soul. In other words, a karmic reaction to one's actions. Therefore, what's the use of just prolonging its existence? Therefore, a genuine theist or scholar of bhakti, gyan, or devotional service, scholar of the absolute truth, the samam bonam, vasudevam sarvam iti, one who studies the presence of Krishna everywhere, he understands that simply a mystical feats for extending one's life is actually not valuable. Therefore, the devotee or the spiritualist, the topmost spiritualist, is a devotee of Krishna. And he or she understands that the ultimate value is attainment of pure love of God. They understand that in this age, pure love of God is attained by the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And they understand that through chanting of the holy name, they can actually come to that topmost level of consciousness where they will be able to see Krishna everywhere, God everywhere, the source of everything everywhere. And in that way they will fulfill the purpose of their life. So it is up to us to make a choice, make a decision, and join the specific camp and adopt the philosophy, the worldview, the thinking process, the behavior, and the result will be there. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Any comments or questions? Yes?
The question was that if vegetables and plants and fruits, they also contain life, as well as the animals, we don't eat animals and we do vegetables, so both are life. Why don't we eat vegetables? I explained it, but people don't know it enough.
They're not convinced because they want to eat meat. That's why. But we can say simply that Prabhupada answered it like this: because Krishna allowed it to eat vegetables, according to Manusamhita, the food for human beings is vegetables. Krishna knows that we cannot survive, this body cannot survive unless there is proper nutrition. And he knows that unless we have proper nutrition, proper health, we'll not be able to attain the real wealth of life, which is love of God. So Krishna has allowed in the spiritual world the vegetables are absolutely conscious. You can talk to them. But in the material world he has created them. They are conscious beings, but they don't have that awareness. Therefore, the pain that they experience is much less than the pain an animal will experience. Krishna has made it so evident that when you put the knife on the neck of a pig or whatever, they scream their life out. They roll on the ground, they run. However, if you try to cut a potato, it will never protest. So, Krishna has created it like this so that basically the living beings can subsist in the as little violent way and lifestyle as possible. And gradually, basically, at the end of one's life, you give up eating also. Basically, you stop all violence, because if you look at Prabhupada's life, he gave up eating. Everyone, my Guru Maharaj, Bhaktirtha Maharaj, he also gave up eating at the end. So we are forced at the end to just give up everything, you know. But you're not on that level. If you can live on air like some yogis, then it's fine. But it is not so easy to do that, and also it is not necessary, because Krishna wants us to engage in devotional service. You can't offer air to Krishna, but you can offer a nice delicious feast. So we are not concerned with what will, according to our perspective, what is perfect. Again, human dharma is coming true, you know, in the words of that person, their perspective of what is proper. We accept the perspective of Vasudev, the supreme authority. If Krishna authorizes that this is fine, then we accept. But you cannot say, but look, that is imperfect. You challenge Shastra in that way. And if you think that Krishna is imperfect by giving us authorization to eat vegetables, then you're soon gonna eat meat, which is even worse. Or even if you don't eat meat, you have to become a yogi and breathe air, but then you'll miss the goal of life, of attaining love of God. So you have to make a decision based on that. You have to analyze the situation in your own way. So when you talk to people like this, they have totally different worldview. Therefore, we have to see, I mean, we have to be aware of who we're talking to, and how to ultimately encourage their bhakti rather than just trying to enforce a moral principle. Because by enforcing moral principle without them understanding the goal of it, then they will discredit. If they're a little intelligent, they will rather preserve their sinful activity with their faulty intelligence, so that they can carry on doing sin. They can rationalize in that way and go to hell. So we have to really try to help people understand what's the goal of life before we just try to preach morality. The mother of morality is not fear. The mother of morality is not fear. It's love. So if we learn how to love Krishna, automatically we know how to love every living being. So also we could say that in order for a person to eat, for example, we don't have to chop the tree like this verse is saying. We just pick the fruit. So whichever way you look at it, vegetarian way is much, much, much less violent, and also it is perhaps the only viable way to survive in this world. There is no other way. And if you can't properly survive, how would you really attain the goal of life? So basically this is how we should understand this situation, that we cannot really think that we are also sinful. In fact, Krishna very clearly says in Bhagavad Gita 3.9 that the devotees are offering their food to me, and in that way it's freed of karma. Just like a soldier goes to war and he kills a man, he is not subject to the imprisonment of the state. But if the soldier goes back from the war and he kills his neighbor with the shotgun, he is immediately put in jail. So it's the same action of killing, but because it is authorized by the state, it is not subject to punishment. And in fact, Krishna has made it in such a way that the plants do not have the veins, because the real pain comes from the vein, cutting the vein. So the plants don't have veins like we do, and their experience of pain is much more muted, more insignificant. And of course, they don't express it the way the dog or the pig or the cow will express it, or the chicken or whatever. So we should try to tell the people not to be rascals and cheaters. They have to accept the least violent way of life possible. And if you should tell them, look, if you think that you can fast and live on sun gazing and air, then you should do that. If you think that this is superior than my perspective, then you should do that. You encourage them. Very good. Encourage them to see how long will they survive in that. Yes?
The same question I was giving in lecture, she brought up a conversation from the lecture.
Yeah.
And somebody asked the same question, Prabhupada was explaining it, but they couldn't understand. And then finally he said, why don't you eat your own baby?
Yeah, heavier. Yeah.
There's a difference between eating your baby and a potato. So Prabhupada was saying, so they can rationalize. And then you're saying there's a difference between eating the chicken and a potato.
Yeah, it's a more evolved form, yeah. 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 You see, if someone is very thick and very sinful, you can't convince them. On the other hand, there are people that trying to, like I said, sun gazing and live on air, pranayam, whatever. They may think that we are very sinful because we eat vegetables. You guys are sinful rascals, you know. You eat vegetables, you killers. But actually, again, they may do pranayama, but while breathing, they're killing millions of microbes. You can't avoid it. It's a fact, right? So it's unavoidable. So what we do actually is we accept Shastra as an authority. That's why I mentioned the one group accepts their own concoction, the other group accepts Shastra as an authority. But one has to develop faith in Shastra by studying it. So if you understand the science of Shastra, automatically will your philosophy will form your worldview, that will form your thinking, that will form your behavior, and that will produce certain actions. So, in fact, agriculture is very good for people. If they look after plants, their heart softens, flowers and plant vegetables, and they develop love for Krishna in that way as well. Rather than pretending that you are so paka, perfect yogi, that look Krishna, I am so great, I'm not gonna eat anything. That is ego, that's false ego. Krishna will just shake his head like this and say, alright, I'll see how long you'll survive. Okay, another last question. Do you have Yes, that's it. So I will conclude with saying that one person told me on the street the other day, sorry sir, is that a religion? You know, when I was distributing books. So I told him, I suppose you think you are not religious. He said, yes, I am not religious. I told him, actually, you are religious, because what is your definition of religion? It's a man-made thing, right? He says, yeah, religion is man-made thing, and it causes division and war and whatever. So I told him, actually, you are also religious because you have created your own idea of what's right and wrong, and you are also a man. Therefore, it's man-made. And if you examine your actions, you'll see you're also causing war. Can you take a book? But he had little brain to understand that. Some people don't have the brain. Some people are too animalistic. It's really, really sad to see how much the progress of Kali Yuga. And a lot of the people are just blind followers. Someone else is thinking for them. If someone else is thinking for you, in terms of accepting Shastra, you're a blind follower. Even if you wear tilak, sari, dhoti, whatever. You have to understand Shastra. Don't just accept. Well, you know, this devotee or Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna is God, then I'll just accept. That is good, But Prabhupada said, my disciples should study my books, not just sell them. You see? Because by studying of the books, understanding them, analyzing them, you will stay. You will remain in ISKCON, in Krishna consciousness, and you will be able to really see Krishna and go to the spiritual world. And in the interim, you'll help millions of people, perhaps. Yeah, each one of you can help thousands and thousands of people in this world. Just by aligning ourselves with Krishna's will and Guru's will, you become an instrument, and then you will be used to help thousands and thousands of people. So, people are very innocent. The majority are just misled. Therefore, we have to constantly devise plans for elevation of their consciousness, like Ratha Yatra festival and other different kirtan yoga, yoga classes, whatever. Bring them in and gradually inject some bhakti, make friends with them, and explain to them the absolute fact, Jivera Swarupa Hoi Krishnera Nityadas, Jivera Tatasta Shakti Bera Bera Prakash, that we are actually eternal spiritual entity and we are eternally connected to Krishna through loving service. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anandi Gauri Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Aigor Premanande.